those guys. But in reality, they won't let me sing with those guys. But I can sing by myself in my office like that. I just can't do it in public. That's a song that praises the Lord. Mark chapter 10 this morning. Stand with me. The book of Mark chapter number 10. I love it when the special goes with the message. And these guys don't know if I'm preaching for Mark or 1 John. Amen? And so, I want to preach this morning on the preview of the suffering Savior. Jesus Christ is headed to Jerusalem in the book of Mark. And we've been in the book of Mark for almost 2 years now. And we find ourselves, the Lord Jesus Christ, what we might say, winding down His public ministry. He is known to the world. He is known to the multitudes. He has been taught. He has taught the disciples. He has instructed them and will continue to instruct them. But in this passage of Scripture we're going to read this morning, I just call it a preview of the suffering Savior. I don't have a lot to say today, and I know that's hard for you to understand, but I have a lot of Scripture that I want to read today. And I know that's a little bit different, but you're going to have to just bear with me because I'm going to let the Scripture, much of it, speak of itself this morning. So as you have your Bible in Mark chapter number 10, when you sit down after the prayer, we're going to immediately, as a way of introduction, go to Isaiah chapter 52. Isaiah chapter 52. Mark chapter number 10, beginning in verse number 32. Here's what the Bible says. And they, this is the disciples and Jesus Christ, and they were in the way going up to Jerusalem. Let me say something right here. This is not in my notes. But you can't get to Jerusalem unless you go up. Before I ever went to Israel, I used to look at a map and it said that they were going up to Jerusalem, but yet the map showed from north to south. Then when I got there, I realized you cannot go to Jerusalem unless you go up, because it is a city that sits on top of a hill. And they were going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. Now I want you to grab a hold of this. The Bible says two things here, that the disciples were amazed and that the disciples were afraid. Now, the following verses are going to tell us why they were amazed and why they were afraid. Here's why. And He took again, He had done this many times, He took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto Him. This is a preview of the suffering Savior. He began to tell them what things should happen unto Him, saying, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priest and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn Him to death and shall deliver Him to the Gentiles. And they shall mock Him and shall scourge Him and shall spit upon Him and shall kill Him. But I like the last part here. He makes sure that they don't get this, but Jesus still declares it. And the third day He shall rise again. These words that I just read from the Bible are the reason that we can read verse 32, that they were amazed and they were afraid. Because He previewed to them the suffering of the Savior. So I want to preach on that subject this morning, a preview of the suffering Savior. Lord, I pray this morning that we might understand the significance of the verses that we just read. Here are these men who have followed the Lord for several years now. They have seen some of the most incredible things that has ever been done on the face of this earth. They have seen the lepers cleansed. They have seen the blind to be made to see. They have seen people raised from the dead. They have seen a woman healed with an issue of blood. They have seen a man with a withered hand made whole again. They saw a hole knocked into a roof and a man let down and Jesus made him whole. They've saw Jairus' daughter raised from the dead. On several occasions, Lord, they have witnessed the multitudes being fed with a small amount of loaves and fishes. And now the Bible tells us they were amazed and they were afraid because of what Jesus Christ is telling them. But Lord, what He told them has come to pass at the cross of Calvary. So that every man, boy, woman, and girl that is unsaved and a child of the devil could be made whole in their spiritual life. Their soul that is dead in trespasses and sins can be made alive because of the blood of Jesus Christ if they would only repent and by faith trust the Lord. So I pray today that we might preview what caused the disciples to be amazed and afraid this morning. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. You may be seated. As a way of introduction, I would take you to Isaiah chapter number 52. And I would read you a portion of Scripture, a passage of Scripture from the Old Testament that gives the prophecy of the suffering Messiah. We are calling the subject this morning, the suffering Savior. But He was the Christ. He was the Son of God. He is the only way of salvation. And all of these miracles that Jesus Christ has performed have been basically for one reason, that they might understand that He is who He claims to be, and that is the very Son of God. Meaning that He is the only one that could go to the cross and pay for the sin debts of mankind. If a man tried to die, he could not do it, for he is sinful. If it was only God, he would be unattainable. But He was all God and all man, and He paid the way of our salvation. Now here's what I want you to get from the Scripture. I want to get from the message this morning that what Jesus Christ is teaching His disciples is the same things that the prophets were preaching many years ago. This idea of the suffering Messiah is not something that is unfamiliar with an Old Testament Bible reader. I remember witnessing to a Jewish man back in the 80s who worked in a financial institution and realizing the only place that I was going to be able to go to was the Old Testament. Can I say to you, there is plenty of Old Testament Scripture that tell us that the Messiah would suffer, that He would die, that He would go to the cross. And we may not have known exactly everything about it, but I will show you from the Scriptures this morning what Jesus Christ was teaching His disciples. I will even take you to another Scriptures that show us this is exactly what Jesus Christ was teaching His disciples. Now, here's what it did for them. It caused them to be amazed and it caused them to be afraid. Now don't worry, they're going to be your typical believer. They'll be your typical independent Bible-believing Baptist. After they're amazed and after they're afraid, their mind will go to something else very quickly. And I'll preach about that the next time. But let's focus in on this preview of the suffering Savior. Isaiah 52. Notice this is an Old Testament passage. And notice what it says, speaking about the Messiah. And I'm not going to prove this morning that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, but He is the Messiah. The word Messiah in the Greek is equivalent, the Hebrew word Messiah is equivalent to the Hebrew, to the Greek word in the New Testament, Christ. So when the Bible says that Jesus is the Christ, what we're saying here is that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He is the promised one. He is the one that Israel has been looking for all along. Yet He came into His own, and His own received Him not. But notice what Isaiah preached or said in Isaiah 52, beginning in verse number 13. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Is everybody with me? This is Jesus Christ. Now notice what it says. And many were astonished. Now, isn't it true that we just read that the disciples were amazed and they were afraid? When He goes to the cross, notice what it says. And many were astonished at Thee. His visage was so marred more than any man, and His form more than the sons of men. You know what that means? That means when they beat the Lord, when they plucked out His beard, when they beat Him with a cat of nine tails, when they beat Him to the place where His visage, His face, His being was so marred that it was that you could not recognize Him as a man. Hey, Jesus Christ just didn't go to the cross and it was just a little thing. No, He suffered greatly. You know why? Because sin always brings suffering. And He took upon Him the sin of all mankind. Notice it goes on to say, so shall He sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at Him. For that which had not been told them shall they see. And that which they had not heard shall be considered. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For He shall grow up before Him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see Him, there is no beauty that we should desire Him. You know what that means? Now you could go through the Gospels and you could understand. Jesus Christ was no more looking than any ordinary Jewish man of that day. In fact, you can read the Scriptures, and on several occasions, He passed through the crowd, and they didn't even recognize who He was. You know how we know that? Well, the Bible predicted that. The Bible prophesied that. The Bible foretold that many hundreds and years before He came on the scene. Now, notice verse number 3, and we're gonna build this message. I hope you'll understand. This is just an introduction. He is despised and rejected of men. Still that way today. I said Jesus Christ is still despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised and we esteemed Him not. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. Look at verse number 5. This is talking about the suffering Savior. This is a preview of what Jesus Christ is teaching His disciples. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and He was afflicted. Yet He opened not His mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so He opened not His mouth. And you should watch the shearing of sheep sometime to get a that. I'm telling you, I was in Australia, and we went to where they had a sheep that was sheared. It broke me up thinking of this particular passage, that sheep just walked in there and just allowed what took place to take place. And He didn't open His mouth. He didn't do anything. Do you understand with me this morning? He could have called 10,000 angels, but He opened not His mouth. Why? Because it was the will of God that He would go to the cross and He would die for the sins of you and for the sins of me. The Bible says this, verse 8, He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare His generation? For He was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was He stricken. And He made His grave with the wicked, and with the rich in His death, because He had done no violence, neither was any deceit in His mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He hath put Him to grief. When Thou shalt make His soul an offering for sin. Let me tell you something. That's Jesus Christ. He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. God was not satisfied with the blood of bulls and goats. He was not satisfied with the daily sacrifice. But when His Son shed His blood, when His Son took the blood of the mercy seat and placed it there in heaven, God was satisfied. Therefore, we can come to Him and be saved. Man, I don't know about you, but this is exciting. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, one on the right side and one on the left side. And he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Now, I can't prove this, but I would not be surprised at all, according to what we're going to read in the New Testament here in the book of Mark and another passage, that if Jesus Christ Himself did not, talking to the disciples and showing them what was about to take place, He could have opened His mouth and said the very words that I just read to you this morning. And if I read those words in the context of them heading to Jerusalem and telling those disciples that I shall be spit upon, that I shall be scourged, that I shall be sent to the religious society, that I shall be killed and raised on the third day, if I had been told by Jesus Christ the words of Isaiah 52 and 53, I too probably might have been amazed and maybe a little bit afraid. But here's what I want you to understand this morning. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to die for the sins of mankind. And it wasn't something that you didn't understand because the Old Testament was pretty clear. Now let me tell you, let me read some things in the New Testament that's already been spoken about that lines up with Isaiah 52 and 53. In Matthew chapter 1, in verse 21 through 23, here's what the Bible says. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted, God is with us. Isaiah said that in Isaiah 7:14. Jesus Christ, it's declared in the New Testament that Jesus Christ would be born. They would name him Jesus because he would be the Savior, that his name would be God with us, and he is God with us, and that he would be born of a virgin, and he was. But listen, Jesus Christ is not about Christmas as much as it is about Easter. If I could say that in a secular sense ever. It's not as much about the birth of Jesus Christ as it is about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is called the gospel. And the gospel is the good news whereby men can be saved today. Let me say this. It's the way that only way men can be saved today. In John chapter 12, verse 27 and 28, the Bible says, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? This is Jesus speaking in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. In Mark chapter 2, verse 19 and 20, and Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. This is a preview of the suffering Savior. Luke chapter 12 and verse number 50, Jesus said, but I have a baptism to be baptized with, And how am I straightened till it be accomplished? Jesus is telling us exactly what's going to take place. Luke chapter 13, verse 32 through verse 35. And he said unto them, I like this, go ye and tell that fox, talking about Herod, you go and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils. And he did. And I do cures today and tomorrow. And he did. And the third day, I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come when ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Jesus Christ over and over and over preached to the disciples and preached to the multitudes that he had to go to the cross of Calvary and die. Even the prophets foretold it in the Old Testament. Now let me tell you something. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, knew why he came. He knew why he came. He came to make a way for people to be saved from their sins. Does everybody understand that? But yet there are multitudes and multitudes of people that are lost, dead in trespasses and sin, and refuse to accept God's gift of salvation. Jesus knew why he came. And Jesus even gave great detail on how he would die. In Mark 8:31, he said, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed, comma, and after 3 days, rise again. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21. From that time forth, Jesus began to show unto His disciples how that He must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Mark 9:31, for He taught His disciples and said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered unto the hands of men and they shall kill Him. And after that He is killed, He shall rise the third day. Jesus Christ taught them this. Now, that's just the introduction. I want you to understand 2 points this morning from this text that I want to grab a hold of. Number one, and I've already done this all the way through the introduction, but Jesus used the Bible to show them why He came. He used the Word of God to show them why He came. Now, let me tell you something. Jesus Christ is the Bible. You understand that? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Everything that we do and say at Berean Baptist Church, every ministry, the messages that are preached, we do not preach our opinions. But listen to me. Pastor Abel's got an opinion on everything. And if you don't believe me, come and ask me. You say, what's your opinion on this? I'll tell you what it is. I believe personally I have some great opinions about a lot of issues. I do. But my opinion doesn't matter when it comes to eternal matters. What God has said and what God has done and what God has declared and who Jesus Christ is and what He's done for us, that, my friend, is of the eternal of importance. And Jesus Christ used the Bible to show why He came. Now, in our text, it says this, and they were, in verse 32, and they were in the way, going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed, and as they followed, they were afraid. And the reason is He took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto Him. Now, here's what you've got to get a hold of. He went before them. He knew where He was going. He knew what He was doing, and He knew what was going to happen to Him, and He did it willingly. He did it willingly. Just like I read in Isaiah 53, just like a sheep going to the slaughter or a sheep going to be sheared. They open not their mouth. It's the most amazing thing to watch a sheep who is an animal that will never, you will never have to worry about a sheep biting you. That's not in their nature. You can beat a sheep, you can do anything to a sheep, he won't do anything to it. And Jesus Christ, God, you know, that's why John the Baptist made the declaration, and all of Israel understood it when he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Ever since Moses, the great deliverer of the Jewish people out of Egypt, when God brought in the Passover, it is ingrained on a weekly basis, on a month, not only a weekly basis, but that once a year basis called the Passover. It is ingrained into the national fiber of the Jewish people that a lamb is going to be slaughtered. And that lamb being slaughtered and the blood being placed in the right places, that it delivered them out of Egypt. And that, my friend, was only a picture of the Lamb of God that would take away the sin of the world. And that Passover every year, we can, as New Testament Christians, can look back and say that He placed the blood on the mercy seat, and so that those that would come to Him by faith and repentance toward God can be saved from their sins. He used the Bible to show why He came. He knew where He was going. He knew what He was doing, and He did it willingly. And what He was telling them caused them great fear. Now, I want you to look at one verse in the book of Luke chapter 18 that really, it's Luke tells us this, and Mark doesn't say it, but it's still implied in the book of Mark, but it is very clear given to us in Luke chapter 18, and it's found in verse number 31. Now notice, this is the same passage of Scripture. This is the same context. So we could say Mark chapter 10, where we're at this morning, and Luke chapter 18, verse 31. I want you to look at this. Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem." And now here's the one thing that Mark don't put it like this, and here's what Luke said. "And all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished." Here's what I'm saying to you. Jesus Christ used the Bible to show them what was going to take place. He was telling them, what He was telling them caused them great amazement and great fear. And that's why I say Luke 18:31 gives us a great insight that Jesus taught them this: all things written by the prophets. He taught them what the Bible said about the death that was about to take place. So here's what I want you to understand. The Old Testament is not vague when it comes to the death of Jesus Christ. In fact, it is very, very clear. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 9 through 15. I'm not going to read it. You can write that down if you want. But Hebrews chapter 9 and Hebrews chapter 10 give us a very great description about all of the things that were happening in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, with the sacrificial lamb and the sacrifices and the ordinances and all the things done by the priest were nothing more a picture of what would take place in the New Testament with Jesus Christ. What do you mean a picture? Well, if I was to take my billfold out of my pocket this morning and show you a picture of my grandkids, you would see a very good facsimile or image of my... I used to say kids. I don't say that anymore. I say grandkids. And I have a picture of all of them. I remember a couple of weeks ago, I sat with my mom, who has Alzheimer's. She's probably in the mid stages of it. She still knows who I am. Praise the Lord for that. I'm very thankful for that. She can't remember we had breakfast, but she knows who I am. And I had a picture, and I was showing her all the grandkids. I was showing her Heather's children, and I was showing her Brian's children. And I was showing her all of these pictures, and I was giving her the names. And I was giving her a picture of who these children were and what their names were. But that picture can never show you who they really are, what they're really like. They're just a facsimile. They're a good image. It looks like them. Oh, but when you meet them in like real life, oh yeah, you know what I'm saying. That's exactly what the Old Testament is. It's a picture. Those sacrifices were a picture of the perfect Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, that would die for the sins of all mankind. So the Old Testament is not vague when it comes to the death of Jesus. Psalm 22 gives a very graphic description of the details of Jesus' suffering on the cross of Calvary. Go to Psalm 22. Psalm 22 is very graphic. I believe that not only did Jesus... It's not that I don't believe, it's I know, because the Bible says in Luke 18:31, He taught them what the prophets said about the... The prophets previewed what would happen to Jesus. And here we find that in Isaiah 52, but we also find it... Isaiah 52, 53, we also show in Psalm 22 that gives us a very graphic description of the details of the suffering on the cross. In Psalm 22, verse 6 through 8, the Bible says this, "But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, He trusted on the Lord that He would deliver him. Let Him deliver him, seeing He delighteth in him." Do you know those are almost exactly the words to a verbatim that we read in the New Testament when they mocked Him on the cross and said, "Well, He saved others, let Him save Himself." Very same words we find here. You know what that is? Psalm 22 predicting scorn and mockery. How about Psalm 22:16? By the way, you can look at all these. "For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet." Do you know that crucifixion wasn't even invented yet? Yet the very inerrant, infallible, perfect Word of God tells us how that He would be pierced in the feet and be pierced in the hands. Did you know that in a crucifixion, that if the day was running down and men wanted and the Roman soldiers were on a 8-to-5 job and they didn't want to work overtime? I'm speaking in vernacular, so hopefully you can understand, that they would go up and they would break the legs of the victims that were on the cross so that they could not lift themselves up to breathe, because you have to have your bones in your feet to lift yourself up. So they would crack them. They would break them right in half. And then the victim, those would be crucified. They couldn't breathe and they would suffocate to death very quickly. That was very common. Yet, you know, Psalm 22 said not one bone in His body was broken, because when the Roman soldiers came to Jesus, they realized He was already dead. No, it wasn't as much. Hey, listen, some of those Roman soldiers were so cruel and so vile, they would have done it anyway just to do what they always did. But yet they didn't. Why? Why did they do it, preacher? Because God already foretold that would happen in Psalm 22. Psalm 22, verse number 14 through 17, describes that physical suffering. Psalm 22, 18 tells us they would gamble for His garments, just like that happened in the New Testament. And for time's sake, let me give you some Old Testament other prophecies that Jesus could have used to teach His disciples. He could have said, you boys remember Zechariah, where the Bible talks about the triumphal entry that's already taken place? How about Psalm 2, where His enemies would rage against Him? How about Zechariah 13, where He would be deserted by His friends? How about Zechariah 11:12, where it was told He would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver? How about in Numbers 21 that describes how He would be lifted up as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness? So shall the Son of Man be lifted up, before crucifixion was ever invented. That none of His bones would be broken, Psalm 34:20. That He would be given vinegar to drink in Psalm 69:21. That His side would be pierced in Zechariah 12:10. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying the Bible is very clear. So all of the agnostics and all of the heathen and all of the reprobates who want to try to tell us that Jesus Christ and His death was an accident, or that it was something that just happened, or a good man died. No, no, no. You have the inerrant Word of God in the Old Testament telling us exactly how it would be in the New Testament. You have Jesus Christ describing to His disciples the very words of the Old Testament that came to pass exactly as foretold. Do you know what the odds of that happening is? Zero. unless God was in on it. Somebody say amen. Now, hear me give you the second thing. So, Jesus Christ used the Bible. Now, here, listen to this. Number two, Jesus Christ is the Bible. Now, what do you mean by that? Well, you go back to our text. You will notice Jesus Christ is the Bible. He said, they'll mock me, they'll scourge me, they'll spit upon me, they'll kill me, but I'll rise again on the third day. Now, the prediction of His death should give each of us added perspective, what I would say, added perspective on the magnitude and the intensity of our Savior's suffering. Now listen, when I'm going to go in for surgery, I try to put it out of my mind what the pain's going to be. My wife's trying to do that right now. They're going to drill 25 holes in her foot tomorrow. That's crazy. That's got to hurt. Now, you understand what I'm saying? It's going to hurt. I'm leaving. I'm leaving town. But you know what they'll do? They'll knock her out with Versed. And you can do anything to somebody if you're on Versed. I mean, that's like the miracle, wonderful drug. I remember when Versed was first on the market. It was in 19... You can look this up. It was like 1981. No, let's say Heather was born in 1983. Heather was like 9 months old. And she was on our front porch there in San Antonio. And she took this... she was on this motor... I mean, this tricycle. And she took the tricycle, and when you're going, we always told the kids, now don't go all the way to the end, make a turn there, because if you go off that wall, you're going to get hurt. She went off the wall. She landed right on her face. When she came up, blood was everywhere. She cracked this tooth right here, right down the middle. She's only little. I mean, she's only like 2 years old. Her teeth had just started coming in. She cracked it right down the middle. Blood going everywhere. And so we're like, oh my, we better take her to the doctor. You know, it's probably good if your tooth is split down the middle. Half of it was there. So all of Heather's baby pictures, if you see her and she's smiling, she don't have a tooth right here. You know what I'm saying? You're supposed to lose your teeth when you're like 6 or 7. No, she lost it at like 2. But I remember my wife would not take her. She goes, you take her. So I take her. I didn't know whether to take her to a doctor or take her to a dentist. I didn't know. So I took her to a doctor, the emergency room. They called in a dentist. And here's what the dentist said. Well, he said, that's got to come out because that's going to be all messed up. We're going to take that out. And I'm thinking, oh, boy. And he said, we're going to give her a brand new drug that's just brand new on the market. Now that'll make a fella nervous when you're talking about your 2-year-old daughter and you're like, well, I don't know about this. He said, well, just trust me, it works really good. And he gave her a shot, and here's what she did. He gave her that, and it was Versed, and she went like this. Her eyes were wide open. You go. I was like, that doctor went in there and pulled that tooth out, and it was like, he pulled that thing out. I said, how long is she going to be like this? And he said, oh, about 2 or 3 hours. Just take her home, lay her on the bed. So I bring her home, lay her on the bed. It was the weirdest thing. I like, should I close her eyes? You know what? You know, I mean, is her eyes going to dry out? After about an hour and a half, she blinked her eyes. Whether in the body or out of the body, you cannot tell. And by that night, she was playing and eating. I said, man, I want some of that. Unfortunately, God has answered that prayer, so because over the years, there's been the procedures that they do that they give you to that. And whether you realize it or not, you do this. Now, I think they close your eyes so that you don't look stupid like that. I just didn't know. We were still in the early stages of this medication, and we were not sure. But here's the deal. They'll give that to her, and they can drill holes in her feet, and it won't matter. And then they'll give her Percocet, or they'll give her some kind of medication, and they'll knock her out. And she'll be like that for 3 days. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ didn't have any of that. By the way, the Bible even predicts that they would give him vinegar to drink, and he would not take it. You know what I'm saying is? I'm saying to you that not only did Jesus give them the Bible, Jesus is the Bible. Now, we understand that on this trip, they're going to Jerusalem to observe the Passover. But can I say to you, the truth is, Jesus would be the Passover. Now, let me give you just a couple of things, and I'll be done. Number one, Jesus, like the Bible, is mistreated. The Bible is mistreated. Jesus Christ is mistreated. He was betrayed by His own treasurer, by His own disciple. He was delivered to death by His own disciple. For 30 pieces of silver, He was betrayed. People today will sell their soul to the devil and go to hell instead of accepting the Son of God for salvation. You know why people won't accept Him? Because people won't repent today. They won't repent of their sins. Jesus, like the Bible, was rejected. People reject the Bible today. They totally reject the Bible. They reject all the verses from the Old Testament that we just looked at. Jesus was mistreated. The Bible is mistreated. He was rejected. Jesus suffered injustice. The Bible suffers injustice. He was holy. He was just. But yet He was tried like a common criminal, and His injustice was just like no other. By the way, His injustice was like no other injustice. You ever been done wrong? Oh yeah, I've been done wrong. So have you. And when you're in an unjust situation, in your spirit and in your mind, go, I can't believe this is happening. I didn't do anything. When we were going through the lawsuit, I was like, we didn't do anything. That's it. That's called injustice. But nobody has ever suffered injustice like Jesus Christ. Because the truth is, we're a bunch of wicked sinners. He was not a sinner. The Bible suffers injustice. People claim it's not true, but we know Thy Word is truth. Jesus used the Bible, and Jesus is the Bible. I'm not going to argue the fact that the Bible was written over a 1,600-year period and God used about 40 men, and yet it is a book written within a 1,600-year period that has perfect harmony because it is the perfect, inerrant Word of God. We've got things written from 200 years ago during the Revolutionary War. We can't even read it. We don't even know what it says. And we have Supreme Court justices and so-called intellectual lawyers. They can't even read the Constitution that was written. It's pretty clear. But yet they say, well, this is what it says. No, it don't. You can read that thing from the top to the bottom 300 times. It's not what it says. You know what the Constitution... We say, man, they're just throwing the Constitution away. Well, what's so... Yeah, okay, they threw the Bible away a long time ago. And what is said in the Bible is a lot more important than what's said in the Constitution. There's nothing written in the Constitution that's going to help you with your eternal salvation. But what's written in this book is... And yet, like the Bible, Jesus Christ was rejected. And He's still being rejected today. Well, preacher, you're just kind of like, man, you're just negative. No. Because here's the positive. Jesus said, negative, 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 but the third day I'll rise again. Amen. That's positive. And He did. And because of that, you can be saved. And I can be saved. My responsibility is not to go out and get people saved. My responsibility is to go out and tell people the truth and let the Holy Spirit of God deal in their life and watch God save them. Because when God saves somebody, if I was to save somebody, they'd never change. But if God saves somebody, they'll change. That's why we're here. Well, preacher, it's just so discouraging. People just won't listen to the Bible. Oh, there's people out there who want to hear it. And sometimes they slip into church wanting to hear the truth. And they go to some goober church where the guy's standing up there saying things that ain't even in the Bible or giving his own opinion. I read you a lot of Scripture this morning. Jesus Christ said, this is what will happen, and it did. And the reason that I'm doing this is because this is the way men can be saved, through the gospel. The death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know what my job is? Preach the Bible. You know what your job is? To go out and tell people this is the gospel. Jesus Christ can change your life. He changed mine. Many people sitting in this room this morning have testimony. I love testimonies, especially when God works in people's lives and they take them from what they used to be to something they don't deserve, because I don't deserve it, but I'm sure glad for it. The grace of God is sufficient to save your soul and save mine. Now the question is, what are you going to do with the Bible? Are you going to reject it? Are you going to mock it? Are you going to spit upon it? Are you going to reject it? That's all. Listen, that's negative. But the positive, Jesus Christ is coming again. Amen. Bottom line. How do you know that? Because that's what the Bible says. And if the Bible says it, that's good enough for me. My goodness, why would we believe, why would we doubt the coming of Jesus Christ as predicted when all the things I read this morning came to fruition just as God said it would? Absolutely. So here's the point. If you ain't saved, I'd let the Lord deal with my heart. And I'd call on Him before it's too late. Let's stand this morning, every head bowed.